of us have had the privilege to live in America, right? What a blessing, and it really is a privilege. And we should be grateful for that. And even beyond that, we've been able to be part of the 250th, some call it anniversary, I choose to call it birthday, but the 250th birthday of our country. I mean, what a milestone. Now, I know relatively speaking, as far as powers and great powers in the world, it's still a relatively new nation, but I'm thankful. You know, we watched through the day some of the festivities there in D.C., and of course, we have a vested interest there because our boy is up there. I kept thinking when they were interviewing different people, hey, Ryan might be next. You just never know, or you might see him in the background. We was looking a little bit at that. We got to hear the president's speech last night, even though it was a lot later than they thought because of the storms, and watched some of the fireworks there. I think Amy ended up watching all the fireworks. I watched part of them. But what a blessing and a privilege to live during this year that we celebrate our country's 250th birthday. You see, on July 4, 1776, 56 delegates representing the 13 colonies were part of the Second Continental Congress. You see, they unanimously adopted the Declaration of Independence, announcing the colony's separation from Great Britain. Now, the New York delegates, I might add to you, from what I understand, abstained because they were waiting on news from Albany, I guess the capital, and how they were supposed to vote. But still, if all are in favor and a few abstain, that is a unanimous decision, all right? The Constitution provides the legal and governmental framework for the United States. However, the Declaration, with its eloquent assertion that all men are created equal, is equally beloved by the American people. Philadelphians marked the first anniversary of American independence with a spontaneous celebration, which is described in a letter by John Adams to his daughter Abigail. However, observing Independence Day only became commonplace after the War of 1812. Soon, events such as groundbreaking ceremonies for the Erie Canal and the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad were scheduled to coincide with July 4th festivities. By the 1870s, the 4th of July was the most important secular holiday on the calendar. Congress passed a law making Independence Day a federal holiday on June 28th, listen to this, 1870. Wow, it's been around a while. Even far-flung communities on the western frontier managed to congregate on Independence Day. This morning, as we celebrate our 250th birthday as a country, the title of the message is America. America. Point number one today, if you're taking notes, America is a blessing from God. America is a blessing from God. You know, one problem that we would get into is if we come to church and we just praise America, but we don't praise our God for America. And we don't praise our God for allowing us to be Americans. I saw Lee Greenwood get up. You know how old Lee Greenwood is? He's 83. And he got up last night before the president spoke and sang, I'm proud to be an American. And boy, he did a nice job for an 83-year-old. And also found out he's very short. He's only 5'3". But his voice is very big. And what a song that he wrote. And I could stand up next to him and sing that song. Because I am proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a West Virginian too, by the way. And I understand that our booth up there at the state, the 250th State Fair up there in Washington, D.C., is one of the better booths that's around is the West Virginia booth. So thank the Lord for that, right? I'm glad we have a booth, and I don't understand those that don't have a booth. But anyway, moving on. But point number one is America is a blessing from God. America is a blessing from God. You know, the Bible in James 1:17, if you want to turn there, we'll also be in the monitor here in a moment, but James 1:17, and you and I never, ever, 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 ever need to forget this. If there is one single thing in life that we describe as good, guess where it comes from? It comes from God. And as we celebrate 250 years of our country, don't you think he deserves the credit and the praise? You know, God is the God of the universe. He can do exactly what he wants to do, but he has chosen to bless America. And I'm thankful for that. James 1:17. Now, I didn't make this verse up. It's very authentic. It's in the original Word of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is what? From above. And notice those two words. Every good gift. Every perfect gift. So is there anything that can be excluded from that? You know, if you're blessed with a good family, you know, we normally, as you've heard me say before, I believe it was Forrest Gump who first said, you know, our families are a lot like a box of chocolates, mainly sweet, but there's a few nuts in the box or and something along those lines. Yeah, we pretty much all, but for your very family that you have, that you're thankful for, that's a result of the blessing of God. And just think about all the things that we have. You know, during this heat wave here that we've had, which I'm convinced really affected our numbers, but I'm tickled to death that we had over 300 up here on the hill. But, you know, most of us have air conditions in our homes, or at least fans that keep us somewhat cool. We get in cars and buzz to church, and when we turn the key, most likely it's going to start. You know, we have warm water in our houses to clean up. We have drinking water that's pure. We have so many things that the world doesn't have, but every single one of those good gifts come from God. It says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Who is that? That's our Heavenly Father, right? It says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. And everything that's good that we have comes from this good God. And we need to give him the thanks and the praise that he deserves. You see, America, ever since it's been around, as best I can tell, for 250 years, has been the greatest country in the world. What a blessing from God. What a blessing from God. So as we celebrate America, we celebrate really the goodness and the blessings of our God. In this message entitled America, number one, America is a blessing from God. Number two, America has been blessed by God. America has been blessed by God. I have two verses in Scripture that spell this out pretty clearly. One is in Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Listen to this. Under the point, number two, America has been blessed by God. Not only is America a blessing from God, America has been blessed by God. Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, if the Word of God is true, and it is, and if the Word of God is always right, which it is, it says that when a nation is righteous, God will exalt that nation. God will lift up that nation. Now, you're going to hear the full story here in a moment, but by and large, through the years, America has been a righteous nation. You know, America from the founding fathers have been a righteous nation, generally speaking, and God has exalted our land. God has exalted our land and blessed our land and given us far, far more than we really deserve. Don't y'all agree with that? If you do, say amen. Now, come on. That wasn't a very good amen. That was like kind of like one of those, I'm really bored, preacher, but I'll say amen because you told me to. I'd like to have an amen that, like, I really agree with that. How about an amen?
Amen.
God has been amazingly good to America. God has blessed America in a lot of ways. A second principle in Scripture is found in Psalm 33, verse 12. Especially the first part of the verse is what we're going to emphasize. Not only does righteousness exalt a nation, but it says in Psalm 33, verse 12, the first part in particular, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So what does that verse say? As a general principle, when a nation recognizes the God of the Bible as the one true God, Scripture says that I will bless that nation. As you think about our 250 years as a country, don't you believe that a lot of the blessings of God have come as a result of America being a righteous nation? Now we're going to talk about its faults here in a minute, okay? But I'm thankful that through the years, generally speaking, America has been a righteous nation, and God has been a nation that from the very beginning and the founding fathers, they had a faith in the God of the Bible. Now, I'm convinced that there's a lot of revisionist people out there, and they want to revise history and try to take away our Christian heritage and try to say that our founding fathers weren't Christian and try to say that our laws were not based upon the Bible. That's nothing but a lie. Believe me, the Bible and our God had a lot to do with the founding of America. America is a blessing from God. And we're still on point number two. America has been blessed by God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You see, almost all of our forefathers or our founding fathers were devoted Christians. Best I can tell, about two or three of them were actually preachers. You see, from our Declaration of Independence to our Constitution and to the laws of our land, they're based upon a belief in God, and they're based upon a moral standard of right and wrong, and they are based upon the principle of God's holy word. You see, America has been blessed by God because we have stuck to God. Now, have we wondered? Absolutely. And again, we'll talk about that in a moment. You see, we preachers, whenever it comes to be a special, like, national holiday, a lot of times we get up and rant and rave about all the sins of our land. And I'm going to get there in a minute, but let me tell you, America is still a very blessed nation, don't you? And I still believe that in spite of all of our faults, America is still the greatest nation in the world. Listen to this. America has sent out more gospel missionaries than any other country by far. By far. Now, is missions near and dear the heart of God? Absolutely. Is it important to God? Absolutely. When we get a hold of the vision of missions and what we need to do in missions to not only reach our neighbor but to reach around the world, we're tapping into the very heart of God. And you know, when this country was founded upon the Christian ethic, if you will, upon God's word, and we started sending out all these missionaries, don't you think God said, "Now that's good. I like that." And as those missionaries went out, God blessed our country, and I'm thankful for that. Even today, according to some numbers that I found, today we as a country send out more missionaries than any other country. 135,000 missionaries today. 135,000 missionaries today. Another thing about America that has shown that God has blessed America. America has more professing Christians than any other country in the world. America has more. Now, it's kind of tricky because it says professing Christians. It's 60-some percent of our population. Now, we do not have the highest percentage, but as far as a country with the most professing Christians, somewhere around 217 million professing Christians in America. You see, you may say, well, have we wondered? Absolutely. But still, God is still blessing America. You see, as we think back to all of the wars that we've been a part of throughout those 250 years, including the Revolutionary War, which really probably no one would have given us a chance to win. But really, I believe with God on our side, we did win. The Revolutionary War broke from Great Britain, established the freedoms that we all enjoy. And through the years, whenever there's a conflict where some big bad bully is picking on somebody else in the world, Who is it that rises up to their defense? Typically, it's America, right? We have defended the right, we have defended the good, and we've defeated many evil forces throughout these 250 years as a country. I'm thankful for our military. I'm thankful for those that gave all to serve their country to protect our freedoms. But you see, America has been blessed by God. There's a quote. It's been attributed to Alexis de Tocqueville, I believe is how you say his name. Some have kind of cast some doubt on that, whether he really said that or not. But I will say that whether he did or not, there's a lot of truth in the statement I'm about to make. This fella supposedly said, "I sought for the greatness and the genius of America." Now, he lived from 1805 to 1859, so if he wrote it a long time ago. He says, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless forests, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. In her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, and it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. Boy, regardless of who said it, there's a lot of power in that statement, isn't there? You see, this morning on America, first of all, America is a blessing from God. And we never need to lose sight of that. Secondly, America has been blessed by God. Because America, through the decades, has looked to God for strength, and even in the founding of our country. But point number three, America has fallen, far away from God. I'm really not sure I'd give you much for a preacher who didn't eventually get to this point, that America has fallen far away from God. But you know what? But God in His mercy and grace is still blessing America. Now I'm saying in His mercy and in His grace, God is still blessing America. But we as a country, we have wandered far, far away from God and this Bible that I have before me. So will America be around for another 250 years? Now, that's assuming that the Lord does not come back. Everybody still alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Let me tell you, I believe the Lord's coming back just really soon. I mean, it would not surprise me. I wouldn't bat an eye if the Lord came back in the next 5 minutes. Is that the trumpet I hear? So will America be around for another 250 years? Now, assuming that the Lord doesn't come back first, think about that for just a moment. Will America be around for another 250 years? You know, in Philadelphia yesterday, they buried a time capsule. They buried a time capsule. Did everybody see this? They buried a time capsule in Philadelphia. They had items from all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and five U.S. territories. The America 250 time capsule features letters, artifacts, and objects to help tell the story of the United States of America at its 250th birthday. In this 900-pound cylinder to be opened in 250 years, in 2276, that's a far piece away, don't you think? 2276 is when it's scheduled to be opened. I found this interesting. If what I Googled was correct, there was no Bible included in the time capsule. No Bible. You know, the book, this book that I have before me, that inspired our forefathers to stand for right, to stand for freedom, upon which our laws are based, and that gives us a standard for right and wrong. I find it shocking, and again, I may have not looked at the right place. There's so much information on the internet, but from what I found, there was no Bible placed in that capsule. Isn't that really a shame? And it's really a bad sign of where we are as Americans. You'd think that somebody of those 50 states, you'd think that somebody in the District of Columbia, you'd think that maybe somebody in those five territories would have said, you know what, maybe we better put a Bible there. Now, don't misunderstand me. We wouldn't put a Bible there because it's not going to be preserved. I tell you, God's Word will endure forever. And people have tried to stamp it out, but just from the very fact that there is none in that time capsule, as best I understand, is a bit disappointing at best. Think about this. What if our founding fathers in 1776 decided, you know what? We're going to bury a time capsule. And we want people to dig it up in 250 years or this year, yesterday. I want them to dig it up. How many Bibles you reckon might have been in there? Just thinking about that for a moment. What of the 13 colonies? Would there have been a Bible from all of the 13 colonies stuck in there? Would there have been a big one in there? I'm pretty sure that if they wanted things in that capsule, that time capsule, to explain where they were in 1776, I believe there would be a Bible in that time capsule. Don't you figure? So the question that I ask in this point, that America has fallen far away from God. Now, don't forget the other points on America. America is a blessing from God. America has been blessed by God. But lastly, as we're looking at, America has fallen far, far away from God. So, how do we get America back close to God? How do we, as Christians, what can we do? Now, the thing not to do is to throw up our hands and say, it's helpless. There's nothing we can do. Just look at our society. Look at how many parents are hooked on drugs. How many grandparents are raising their kids. Look at the homosexuals, and they're proud in their sin. And look how they've been included. And now you're looked as a narrow-minded right winger if you even imply that you think homosexuality is against God and His Word, which it is. And you look at this gender identity thing. I mean, it's crazy. It's disgusting. And as we talked about in Sunday school, it's disgusting to God. Now, He loves those people, and we are to love those people. But you look at where we are, and you look at the corruption in our country. Now, again, that's not dismissing point number one and point number two. That's not dismissing that America is a great country, the greatest in the world. That's not dismissing that God has blessed our country. But the truth of the matter is, we have wandered far, far, far away from God. So the worst thing for us to do is to throw up our hands and say, it's done. I remember a missionary. Now, he was not American. As best I remember, he was Australian, but he was working and raising support in American churches. And this was years ago. This was probably the first church I pastored. I remember he came, and it seemed like his last name was Anger. And it seemed to kind of fit. He got up and he said, you know, I think America is done. I think God is done with America. And I think America is done. And we need to start sending missionaries everywhere else because America is so far gone. Too far down the tubes, too far down the drain to even help. Best I remember, after he got done saying all that, I got up and said, well, I don't agree with that. I think there's still hope for America, don't you? I think as long as there is a God, and there is a God, and He's still living, and He is, and He always will, I believe there's still hope for America to see revival. But I think the primary responsibility of revival in our country is right here among Christians. Right here in the local church. As I've said many times, I don't believe revival is going to be sparked in Washington because of the politics of Washington or because of some legislation that they passed. Now, it might be through things like the DC Gospel Outreach, but it's not going to be because of government. And I don't believe that revival is going to spark because of our Congress, our legislature, if you will, our delegates, our senators in Charleston. I believe if we're going to have revival in America, it's going to start in our local churches. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. You could preach a full-length sermon on this, but I'm not. But I'm going to just remind you of a few things that we can do if we want revival to happen in America. If we want America, that it really is far away from God, to snuggle up close to God again. Now, I know that this passage is speaking about the nation of Israel, but I really believe that the principles in this verse apply to the United States of America in 2026. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name." Now, if you're taking this principle, this Old Testament principle applied to Israel and trying to apply it to the church today, which I think is a legitimate thing to do, when it says, "My people, which are called by my name," duh, who would that be today? That would be Christians, right? That would be people that said, "I know Jesus as my Savior. I am born again. I am saved. I know where I'm headed," right? Christians. But then it gives us four things that we should do if we really want to have our land healed. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name," that would be Christians today, "shall humble themselves." Humble themselves. You know what every one of us, every single one of us as children of God should show? Humility. Humility. You see, God doesn't need big shots. God doesn't need us to think how big of a favor we are to God because of our service to Him and how smart we are and all that. What God really desires in His people is a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility. And maybe it's a sense of humility as implied in that verse that we're not in America what we ought to be. You know, rather than tooting our horn and saying how great we are all the time, maybe that's great to do, but maybe we ought to pause for a moment and say, but still, we need to snuggle up close to God. But still, we have a lot of problems. But still, and that may take humility, but we need to do it as Christians. We need to humble ourselves before God. Who is the perfect picture of humility in the Bible? Jesus. Jesus, right? He humbled himself to the death of the cross, which he didn't have to go through. But if we want America to be revived, if we want America to be healed, we as Christians need to take a humble pill. We need to humble ourselves before God. And I'm not convinced that when it says humble ourselves, it's not even talking about in our prayer position. Now, I realize that some people got health issues and knee problems and all. I can't get down on my knees. Now, listen, God totally gets that. But if we can get down on our knees, that's a good place to start, don't you think? And when we get down on our knees, what do? We recognize that God is great and me not so much, right? We're showing a position of humility. So what must we do if we think America is far away from God, but we want to get America back to God? What do we need to do as Christians? What do we need to do as a local church? Humble ourselves. Show humility. Notice it goes on. Humble themselves and pray. Pray. I do not believe that if we fasted and prayed around the clock for a year, I don't think it'd be enough prayer. Do you? Now you say, "Preacher, we can't do that." I understand that. But I'm just making the point. You can't pray too much about something. You can't seek something good too much before God. And I don't know about you, if we love America as much as we say we do, why not enter that into our prayers whenever we pray to God and say, "God, send us revival. Heal our land." If it's that important to us. first thing we can do if we want America brought back to God, humble ourselves, show humility ourselves as children of God, and pray. We need to get serious about this area of prayer. And then it says, and seek my face. Now, I'm going to have you do a little exercise right now for two reasons. Number one, I'd prefer you not to fall asleep. And number two, to prove a point. If you would, stand to your feet for just a moment. I want you to turn around and look around the church, would you? All right. Now, after you've looked around the church, you can be seated. Now, let me ask you some questions based upon that, okay? Are there any empty seats in this church? Are there people that should be in those seats that just have chosen not to be in those seats? Now, I realize it's a holiday weekend, so I'm not casting stones based upon that. But are there people that have just simply chosen not to fill those seats? Right. Probably every church you've ever been in, there's been empty seats. Probably. And there's been people that you say used to be here, used to come here, used to do this, used to do that. And where are they? You see, we if we want America to be revived, if we want America to be healed, guess what? We've got to seek the Lord. And there's a whole lot of Christians that are not seeking the Lord. And I'd say that every one of us could turn it up a notch, don't you? I mean, even if you're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door, that's the way I was brought up, and that's the way I think it ought to be. I'm a dinosaur. Whenever the doors of the church are open, you ought to be in your place. Not just because it's a duty and you can check off, but because God will bless you for doing that. And we learn more about Him. We get our little brick to build a beautiful house for God. Every time we come to church, we get building material to build a beautiful house for God of our lives, right? But we need to make God a priority again. We as Christians, now again, this is if my people, which are called by my name, talking about Christians, we need to humble ourselves, we need to pray, and we need to seek the Lord's face. Probably as never before. Seek Him, seek what He's like, seek His will, seek His guidance, seek that close relationship. In other words, make Him a priority. Make Him a priority in our lives. And lastly, according to the principle of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if we want to see America drawn back to God. Now again, you'd think, a lot of us would say, well, he needs to be talking to the lost world and tell them to get saved. He needs to be talking to that evil person down the street. He needs to be talking to all the lying politicians. He needs to be talking to all, he's talking to us. Because I really believe that we are the key to revival and a healing of our land. The reason America has drifted so far, now I'm not going to say it's the only reason, but a big part of the reason why America has drifted so far away from God is because the local churches are not being what they need to be. And local Christians are not being what we need to be. Y'all agree with that? How many churches aren't even preaching and teaching the Word of God anymore? Man, we need to seek after God. Make Him a priority. Be sincere. And even if it costs me something, I choose to serve the Lord. The last element of our country getting back to God, our responsibility as Christians. And it says, now this might surprise you. You know, don't fall out of your seat, all right? It not only says that my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves first and pray secondly and seek my face, that's priority and sincerity, but here it is, and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, that must be a misprint. That must not have been translated right. There must be some none. You know what that's talking? That's telling me that we as children of God aren't always what we say we are. That's telling me that we that say, I'm a Christian, I'm a God follower, I am on my way to heaven. Sometimes we have wicked ways in our heart, wicked thoughts in our heart, wicked words out of this mouth. We look at wicked things with our eyes. We listen to wicked input from the world. Guess what? The way I'd put it, we as children of God, we better straighten up and fly right. If we want America to see revival, I believe the key is sitting right here in this church right now. And all across America, in the churches that are preaching and teaching the word. If we want revival to come to America, we need to forsake the wickedness that we have in our own heart. And we're sinners by nature, right? According to our sin nature. So this ought not be a newsflash to any of us that we have wickedness in our hearts many times. If there is, get it out. Notice what it says then. Those four steps. Humble yourselves. Pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Notice, then. You know, it sounds like to me that if it says then, it means like these conditions need to be met, then I will do something. I don't know about you, but do you want to see America closer to the Lord? Do you want to see America turn back to God? I don't want a little spot on the map and say there's a great revival there. Boy, they met for 3 months. And boy, I want to see it spread all across America. I want it. Do you know the great revival? I'm not a revival expert, but the revivals of the past, when God sent revival, it was a radical change of society. I mean, from what I gather, bars closed down. You know, places of ill repute closed down because God sent revival. I want that kind of revival. I don't want a little blip on the radar. I want a whole different trajectory of where America should be in their walk with God, don't you? And it's up to us. It's up to us as children of God in the local church to be all that God wants us to be. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. That would be in this case like forgive the sin of America. And will heal their land. Wow. Heal the land of all this sin sickness that's around us. All this weirdness. I mean, some of it I don't even understand sometimes. I scratch my head and I say, well, not only is that illogical or immoral or unbiblical, it just plumb doesn't make sense. Do you find yourself doing that sometimes? It seems to be up to us. Really. If we want America to have another 250 years, saying that the Lord's not going to come back first, I believe he will, but if he doesn't, it's up to us to put the expression, I hope you're not offended by this, but we need to put our big boy pants and our big girl pants on. And be the men and the women for God that God has called us to be. Quit pointing our finger at everybody else and say, well, that's the reason America is evil. And that's the reason why this and this is right. Maybe it's because we're not. Maybe it's because you're not what God wants you to be. Maybe I'm not what God wants me to be. Maybe we as a church are not really what God wants us to be. Because if I'm understanding that right, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Today, the message on America, number one, America is a blessing from God. And we need never forget that America is indeed a blessing from God. Secondly, America has been blessed by God very abundantly in our 250 years as a country. But thirdly, America has fallen far, far away from God. You know, again, I am so thankful to God and blessed that he allowed me to be born in America with the freedoms that we enjoy, including religious freedom that we're enjoying this morning. Aren't you glad that we could go where we choose to go and come and worship where we choose to worship And if the Lord does not come back first, again, I hope America will still be around in 250 years. I really hope it's around. But even if the Lord does not come back before our 500th birthday, I believe that if America does not see true national revival, God's hand of blessing will come off of America. His grace and His mercy will end. And I believe that if we don't see revival, that America will cease to exist. Now, I guess I would say this. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. As a child of God, and as the ones that really have the key to America's revival, as born-again believers, I want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem, so that America will be revived. Again, what can we do? We can show humility, true humility before God. We can pray for revival. We can seek the Lord first, put Him a priority, and we need to repent, turn away from our sin. I'm going to ask the Christians today, if you desire national revival, I'm going to ask you specifically as we sing here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forth to the altar, and would you spend some time praying for revival in America? Would you come forth and say, "Preacher, you don't tell me anything, but come forth and just tell God, God, I want to see revival. I want to see revival. Lord, please send us revival." Maybe you could include something in there, "Lord, help me to be all that you want me to be, and send us revival." And if you're here today and you've never ever trusted Jesus as your Savior, even if there's a doubt in your brain whether you're truly born again, you don't know what you're missing. You don't have any idea what you're missing. What a blessing it is to go to bed at night and say, you know, if the world should end or the Lord come back, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. What a blessing. You can have that same blessing. It says in John 8:36, "If the Son therefore," that's Jesus, "therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus spoke these words. We are emphasizing freedom of America and how great it is in our 250 years. But you know what? There's a freedom even greater than national freedom. It's called spiritual freedom. You can be free from your sin, free from the consequences of sin, free from death, and free from hell because of what Jesus did for you. And if you've never trusted the Lord as Savior, I'll be somewhere around down front. You come and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." Or if you're listening in, you can be saved wherever you are. You can call out to God and say, "God, forgive me of my sins. I've done things against God. I want you to wipe that slate clean and forgive me." And He will. And you can say, "I believe that Jesus was your Son that died upon the cross." You can tell God that in prayer. "I believe He meant it. He died on the cross. He shed His blood for me. And He resurrected back to life." And you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior. "I'll follow Him. I'll do." And if you mean all that from your heart, regardless of where you're at, you don't have to be in church. You can call out to God and say that and mean that from your heart, and you can be truly saved and born again. Again, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you do not know what you are missing. What a blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for our country. We thank you for our 250 years. And Lord, I think everybody here would say, we want it to go on another 250 years if you don't come back, Lord. But Lord, help us to do our part. Lord, help us to be the Christians, serious Christians, in our service to you, making you a priority, humbling ourselves before you, praying, Lord, seeking your face, and Lord, turning from our wicked ways, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Help us to do that very thing and be part of the solution rather than part of the problem in America, we pray. And Lord, if you've spoken to hearts today, Lord, I pray that every Christian that you've spoken to their heart will come forward and pray for America, pray for revival. And Lord, I pray that you may just speak to any hearts here today who may not know that they're truly saved, that they'll be saved today and come forth and get my attention, Lord, and they can leave this place knowing that they're on their way to heaven. Lord, we love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.